Welcome to the Cowbell Fever Podcast. This is the annual Main Street Podcast, and if you count last year's recording from Telemark, the 8th edition, with the first one all the way back in 2016. Now, that one came out in February, but that's the exception that proves the rule. This year's is longish, and I guess I probably could have split it up into two, or even three. That's what we did in 2020 when we had nothing else to do. But I'll just stick you with one here in early April, and it's pretty early for it, so have a listen. Now, a PSA, don't listen to this podcast on roller skis. There is a rule that there's no roller skiing in April. Heard of this happening? Not allowed. Now, speaking of rules, did you know this podcast is a Patreon account? Yes, you can go over to patreon.com/offsevit. I can spell that out phonetically. Oscar, Foxtrot, Sierra, Echo, Victor, India, Tango. And if we get a few more signups, I think we need to get to 10. We have three or four, I think. Everyone who signs up gets a novelty Cowbell Fever cowbell. You may ask yourself, why do I need such a novelty cowbell? Well, it's a good question right now, but it's a small price to pay for having your voice in early March. Let your wrist do the cheering next year. Head over to patreon.com/offsevit now. And on to the show.
Chelsea Youngberg from Duluth, Minnesota, raced the skate 50K Berkey. I had A, B, and C goals, and I hit like my B, C goal. I was with the lead pack, and I wanted to at least be with them for sure until 00. And then I fell at like mile 9, and then unfortunately lost the pack, caught back up to them, but they bridged me before 00 and then skied by myself.
Oh, yeah. In the wind?
Yep. Still held my position, so made like a readjustment to like my goal, and yeah, it was still good. Yeah. Beautiful skiing, fast skis. Pioneer Midwest did an awesome job waxing.
Yeah.
You would know.
I had good skis.
Yeah.
Legs were questionable, but the skis are good.
Yeah.
So, well, how many Berkeys have you done?
This is my fourth.
Okay, so you know, got a lot to go.
Yeah, I kind of felt like a little bit of imposter syndrome. I don't know. I've
got
a lot.
Ninth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're okay.
I I've got a lot to learn with like tactics.
All right, so tell me about what your volunteer job is.
It's
putting up bananas and handing them out to really cool people that finish the Berkey Biner.
All right, and how, like, what do people look like when they're coming through the line here?
Kind of tired. I'm not sure if they didn't get enough sleep last night.
How many bananas do you figure you'll give out today?
I heard on the radio coming in so many pounds of bananas. I know 42,000 cookies.
I get
so
the good job of being the cookie lady.
So, she gets more business than I do.
I make everybody smile with cookies. Yeah.
What do you need, sir? Cookies.
Oh, it was a rough one for me.
Yeah.
How about you?
How's your race?
I was all right.
Yeah.
Still got the boot, though. Hey, you guys got a little one now.
Yeah. We found out about little one here last year.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, we didn't exactly.
Congrats.
He is 3.5 months.
Nice.
On
Thursday night, Elaine, I was like, just go, let's go over to Walgreens and get a test, whatever. Like, oh.
Yeah, no, I skied the quarterlobe bit. We had a miscarriage before him, like a very, very small one. And so when I skied the quarterlobe bit, having found out about him the previous night, I was just like, if you hang on, you're pretty good. We'll keep you.
Yeah, it's a good omen.
So I skied as hard as I could, being like, this does not affect me. Unfortunately, he has delayed my return to longer
races. Have a one-year-old now. And my wife signed up for the quarterlobe this year, and then she just bailed. She's like, I'm not in shape. I don't want to do this.
Do you have a one-year-old? Do you have a
2.5-year-old?
Okay. Elena, which was a co-host of the podcast 2 years ago. I guess maybe you're co-hosting this year.
I would like to co-host,
okay.
Yes.
And is Leon a third co-host?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you skied the Prince Hokan yesterday, and he's 3.5 months old, just, you know. And you got soup today. How is the soup?
Soup is so good.
Okay.
Even 24 hours after, it's extraordinarily satisfying.
Leon, how are you doing?
Leon is a little bit frustrated. Nap number 2 is ending. He's hungry as well.
Oh,
well. He's probably grumpy if you have to ski in the Berkey.
All right, Lincoln, how was your race?
It was hard. I was second row, and I went out like a crazy master blaster, and almost became to blow up when I like spun around, and I feel bad for the people around me, but I didn't break any poles, and nobody broke my poles. So thankfully, the couple of triacs that I saw the remnants of were not mine. Or somebody else's that I caused. Anyways, yeah, it went pretty well. It felt like I got faster as the course went on, or like my skis felt like they ran a bit better as it warmed up. But they didn't feel that fast at the beginning. No, but it was fun. It was like found a good pack of people to sort of stick with, that we were equal. And yeah, it went pretty well.
Do you know what time you finished? What did you finish at?
I think 2:30 something. You know.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
No. Jess, how was your race?
Well,
you did amazing.
I didn't feel very confident, but every time I thought I was going to blow up, I kept saying, I'm still here. I'm fine. I'm still here. I'm fine. I'm still here. I'm fine. I used to feel really strong on uphills. With the past year, I feel like I really struggled on the uphills, but felt really strong on the flats. My upper body and my arms are strong.
Yeah, you were 22nd overall. And where was your sister? Stacey, you're 17th. How's it feel to be 17th?
20.
That's freaking badass.
I'm excited. I think it went well.
The secret was that I skied with the main muscle crew.
Yeah.
And Amy and Britta and Jess did a good job of like having a group that really stuck together. And whenever pace started to fall, somebody would take the lead. And it was just like a very pleasant, fun ski. And I think everyone was like, really enjoying the course. The conditions were fast. Someone kind of broke off with like, I don't know, 8 or 9K to go, and I kind of followed and caught up to her and passed her, and then everyone else was like was very close behind me, but I just had to like hold it together over the lake. And yeah, I had absolutely no idea what place.
Eight, you are sitting at 199th place. Wave 10 will finish in 18 minutes, 2 hours and 33 minutes of wave 10 will pass. You're currently Schrodinger's elite waver because it all depends on whether there's a wave 10. Are you going to go watch the finish and see if there are any wave 10 people, or are you going to sit in the warm tent?
No, Ari, this is why I have you, because it's similar to when I have a flight dilemma or a rental car or a hotel dilemma. I just call Ari because you computate all these things for me, which causes me less effort, which right now I don't have much effort to give. I'll wait in anticipation and stuff my face with another bowl of soup.
All right, so Elena, you're vegetarian-ish. How's your, and this is your first time ever having a brat?
That I can remember.
Okay, and how do you like it?
It's good, and I'm going to give the rest to you.
I will eat the rest. Thank you. Now you're having your first Bloody Mary, and you think it is?
Interesting.
Right, so I'll be able to have most of that, too.
Yes.
How was your race? And you volunteered, so that gets you, like, 100 extra places. How was your race?
I needed to volunteer several more times, if that was the case. I made it to Hayward.
Okay.
So, that's something.
Yeah.
I had a beer in my boot when I got here.
You had a beer in the changing tent?
Yes.
I didn't do that this year. It's a pretty pro move.
The shot ski had some sort of maple something. Mm. That was delicious. Fireball on top of sunset. Yep. That's probably a good indication of how the race went. So.
How many burpees is this for you now?
12. It was rough.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to ski from Cable to Hayward, so.
We made the moccasin, if you can't tell from the cacophony in the background, and found John Swain zip running.
Yeah, we did.
How was your race?
It was pretty good. It was damage control, and I kept it together. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I stayed in the classic elite wave too.
Oh wow. Okay.
If they take the top 100, and no one else is out there from wave 9 crushing it.
If they take the top 250, I'll be in the elite wave, but they don't.
But you get 250.
I had 230 something.
Oh, that's really good.
But I think it's a pretty stacked field this year. How was the kick today?
It was weird. I saw Field Benarski before yesterday.
Yep.
And he was like, "Yo, I was in the purple range testing skis, and nothing was working." And I was like, "He scared the shit out of me." So I put a little kicker, like a purple kicker under blue. It was pretty good, actually. I think the snow on top that drifted in this morning. It really helped the first the cable area. I don't know if you can tell in skate, but it kind of seemed like the cable like plateau picked up like a little bit of fresh powder that just cushioned the track a little bit
at the start. Yeah, yeah.
It was actually really nice.
I was over in Sweden racing World Cups.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
What about you? I mean, we like all train year round. Difficult compared to the rest of the course? Like, is there a part where you'd be like, oh my gosh, that was so hard?
I mean, I think the last 10K is hard, but also people start going harder there, so.
Also, with the speed hills, people like sprint up a bit and then like stop. So
your first place, what age is it?
Overall?
Yeah. Wow.
So they give you those bibs that they finish to wear and.
Yeah. Wait, sorry, you won the bookie for the women today. You won the quirky.
And it was a packed finish for you. You're just sprinting down Main Street. Did you finish ahead of the men or behind them? Yeah. Thank you.
We talked to the big winner.
Oh yeah. Well, they wear those dips. They get give them those dips. You know.
Yeah.
It's sort of tradition for the winners to come to moccasins. I think we should get another beer.
But much like when you live in the Twin Cities, you don't go to the Mall of America.
Yeah.
I grew up in Hayward and I don't do the Birkebeiner. I'm a wonderful spectator.
But you come out and spectate and drink beer, so, you know.
Absolutely. I've got a massive cowbell.
It's basically doing the Birkebeiner.
And the more people that you know do it, it's so fun to support them all.
Yeah, yeah.
We got everybody in the app.
I honestly think last year, the way that they pulled it off, that should be like an ESPN special.
My name is Matthew Land. I'm from Minneapolis.
Yep.
I was in Wave 3 Skate today.
Okay.
And it was a good race, yeah.
Yep.
Definitely didn't go as conservatively as I should have up Fire Tower. So I was feeling it a bit in the latter half, but hung on. And yeah, it was good. Weather was great. Yeah, snow was pretty good. Not too bad. It's coming from like super cold, so definitely not as like abrasive and dry as we've been used to the past couple weeks.
And you spectated?
Yeah, I'm like the, you know, that's my role at all these things. Just watching, keep track of everybody. Tell everybody to turn their heads when people are coming, basically.
Logistics person.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Coordinating the cheer team.
Yes, that's right, that's right. Dropping them off and picking them up and that sort of thing.
So if there was something that I would say, like, what would I not want to be the finish of my Bergie? It would be coming off the lake in first, knowing that I had, like, three World Cup sprinters or, like...
Who hadn't had kids in the last...
Top 30 World Cup skiers with me at that moment. I was like, oh, this could be...
All of them under age 40?
Exactly. All of them under, like, age 25. I was like, oh, no. So, Jesse Eaton's not quite younger than 25. But anyway, I couldn't have asked for anything better though too, so getting fourth is pretty sweet, I'd say.
Yeah.
In a sprint for the win,
yeah,
I'll take it.
With a 5-month-old, we were just talking about
four and a half.
Yeah,
4.5 months old.
How old's yours?
This
3.5.
Dion,
how are
you?
Yeah,
I guess I didn't know that. So
yeah. And how are your races? Well,
she did Prince Hogan.
Yeah,
I did Prince Hogan. I could tell my endurance, you know, really needed, but it felt like all the muscles were firing in the right places, so that felt good.
Skiing is such a good sport. I really think it is.
I'm so grateful for his timing that I could ski my way to fitness.
That's great. I think it's so much better than
that. Like motion too.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
yeah.
I like that too.
How was your race?
It was good.
Yeah.
Finish. I went for the preem, probably should not have done that, but I was second in the preem, so I didn't get it, and then I was like, ooh, and I remember Matt like looked over, he's like, you know we're going now, and I was like, I'm going to need 45 seconds.
So, Matt finished pretty well. Matt had a good race.
Oh, that was so awesome, I was so pumped for him. Our skis were really good, we worked together on skis.
I had the fastest skis in the group. Everyone came up to me at the end, they were like, what was that? I was like, honestly, I think I...
You know, is that the Pioneer Midwest Wax team?
Pioneer Midwest Wax team, I got our skis. Our skis, they're Salomon's, and we're working with Salomon, but we got our skis off the shelf at Pioneer Midwest in December.
Wow.
And then we had Pioneer Midwest SC1 grinds on them, and the wax team crushed it. So all kudos to that group.
So I can't even blame them for my skis.
I know, exactly. If you got your skis waxed there, it's not,
it's on you, yeah.
Cool.
So we are in the Marketplace Village by Kemp's, at Marketplace Foods. So this is a space that we created as when we first started sponsoring the Berkey, we noticed that there wasn't a lot for kids to do.
Sure.
So we wanted to create an environment where families could come and enjoy, relax, get out of the crowds from downtown and get some free food and have some snacks. Because carrying snacks for adults is a lot too. So we provide obviously sponsorship. Then we're doing the hot chocolate milk. And then we work with Marketplace Foods for... hot and getting donations from our vendors for hot dogs, cookies, cheese curds, you know, all kinds of different snacks, granola bars, etc. And then we also are at the finish line.
Yep. I'm aware of that.
With Kemp's chocolate milk.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate milk.
That is, I every year when I finish, it's like, okay, no matter how I finish, I'm going to have a chocolate milk and it's going to be okay.
Awesome. And we did the pint, full pints this year versus a half pint.
Yep.
So.
And I had two.
Awesome. Yeah. Good for you. Best refill beverage there is.
Yep. But she drinks about 3 gallons a week.
Nice.
Passes most of it through to him.
Oh, that's great.
And Kemp's bread and butter is just milk and milk products? Or
milk, ice cream, sour cream, cottage cheese, the full dairy. Our Kemp's headquarters in Minneapolis. We have a plant in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, a milk plant in Cedarburg, Wisconsin.
So you're sort of Minnesota, Wisconsin, milk products.
Oh, yeah, we sell Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois.
So how much milk do you, how many chocolate milks do you give out of the Berkey?
That is a great question. I would say over the course of the expo and all the races, probably 16,000 to 18,000 units of chocolate milk.
Wow, okay. That's like a couple weeks for you. Salomon, Fishers, Atomics, Rosinals.
They happen to be Orf skis.
Orf.
Version 8.
Tell me about Orf version 8.
They are lighter than any skis on the market.
Okay.
Bright pink.
Okay.
Crucially bright pink. And it's taken a lot of time to really hone the flex and kind of like the structure of them.
And
carbon fiber.
And how they run today?
They felt great. They felt at least as fast as everybody else. Maybe a little faster in the beginning. Yeah, I was very happy.
What made you you decide to try making your own?
Okay, this was probably like 7 years ago or something. I proposed the idea to my sister. I was like, what if I try to make my own skis? She was like, no, that's impossible. There's no way you can do that. So I made a set of skis. They had a wood core. They were really, really bad. And I've kind of slowly iterated on them since then. And now I have a pair of skis that's actually pretty quick.
Do you think that there is something you're doing that's distinct from all the other companies that gives you an edge?
Probably. The main difference would be using entirely carbon fiber as opposed to a carbon fiber fiberglass blend. I'm pretty sure that even the top end skis from other manufacturers have kind of like a co-woven carbon fiber and fiberglass blend.
Do you find a manufacturer to execute on your design? Are you manufacturing it yourself?
No, I'm making it myself. This is a process that takes like a minimum of like 20, maybe 30 hours per set of skis. And then like maybe 100 hours to design a new set of skis. So it's all been kind of through my employer. And I've been able to use a lot of their equipment.
So it's not exactly scalable at this point.
No, not at all. It takes a lot of time. If somebody's willing to pay for like 30 hours of labor at 40 or 50 bucks an hour, then sure. But
that's not that much less than a pair of skis.
Plus profit margin, plus materials.
Materials,
like,
yeah.
3,000 bucks.
Okay.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it took you to a strong finish, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with it.
And it seems like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the most rewarding thing possible, like being able to finish a race on a set of skis that you built and do well. And like to be able to be competitive on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Very competitive. 54th?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
Yeah, very happy. Best finish ever. I'm going to have to attribute that to the orc skis.
Okay.
Because yep. My husband's from Norway, and there's a bunch of Norwegians that have cabins up here.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we just needed to support the Berkey and encourage people to finish strong.
And what did you guys do last year?
Oh, last year it didn't happen.
Okay, you didn't go up to Telemark and do it there.
No, usually one year we snuck in and we said, well, we're with Camp Norway and we set up. So it was very fun and they let us in. That was 2019, I think, when it didn't snow as well.
2017.
Yep. So yeah, so we threw it together up there and we just had a little table and it was very fun.
Yeah, but once on the lake, anything goes.
Yeah, but we're getting competition now. There's people that are stepping in front of us. So.
Is there a Camp Finland or a Camp Sweden?
Well, there's
or?
There's a camp.
A fireball. Yeah,
fireball.
Yeah.
Finland and Sweden, they don't know how to do it.
Okay.
Look at this little guy.
Camp Norway.
Oh my God, yeah.
So in the past, there was an ice bar.
Yes, we used to set up. We're missing some of the youth this year. Some of the young kids to help us. Like, we shovel, but there's not a lot of snow this year to make an ice bar.
And it's dry snow that wouldn't hold together.
Yes, and usually we have like three tables full and we have baked goods. I need to go to the
show. Hey, go!
Oh, I think I have to be part of this.
Yes.
Do you want one?
Yes.
A little bit?
I'll do one.
That means I have to have two.
And it is my birthday Berkey every year.
Ooh. Happy birthday.
Cheers.
Oh, skull.
Guys.
Ready?
Oh. Hey, skull.
Don't taste it. Woo! Happy Berkey!
All right, I gotta learn this for next year, so you can say it slowly, and I'll record it. And then next year, I'll come back and know.
And then you'll know it.
Yeah.
Okay, slowly.
Sol.
Havna.
Havna.
Have
we?
Por. Philippestien.
Philippestien.
Yes.
Philippestien.
Hey,
skol. Hey, skol.
Which means, then we ended up on a drunken party again.
Hey, skol.
It's a very Norwegian thing. Only in the
So we are. where all the waves have finished or in the time. Lincoln Benedict, you've done how many Berkeys now?
Six.
And you finished in 199th, so first time in the Elite Wave. How does it feel? Congratulations. Beat me by 3 minutes.
I think it's also just nice to be able to, like, I finally feel like this year I didn't pass a bunch of people. It was, like, actually, I was skiing as fast as I could ski for pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which makes a difference versus, like, trying to pass everybody. So, yeah.
And you're young. You know.
Under 40.
Yeah.
Are you going to interview those?
Yeah.
Did you just...
Well, I don't... Should I or should I not?
No.
No? Okay.
what I want to tell you about Akavit is, you know, it's a palate cleanser. It's meant to be a sipping type of a. It's not a shooting shot, right?
Which is the case here.
Well, it's not a case here. Here's a shooter. And, I've had about 15 of them today. So
okay. And you've obviously been having Akavit for much of your life.
Since I was probably 5. No, I'm kidding.
6.
Is it like the national...
It is the national drink. So it's the national Scandinavian drink, right? So both Denmark, Sweden, and Norway have their own akvavit. And it's a potato-based liquor. And the Danish and the Swedish, it's a clear akvavit. In Norway, we don't wash the potatoes, so it's golden. Right?
Oh, okay.
Not really true, but that's what I'm saying. Right?
So this is called Liney?
Linja.
Okay.
And that means
Liney's is a beer in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So Linja means that it's past the Linja of equator twice to age it.
Okay.
So it's been on a ship, and on the label it tell you about which ship it was on and when it passed the equator and stuff. So it's on a ship for a certain amount of months passing the equator to get the temperature, pressure changes
really?
To age it. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And Linje, is that the Norwegian, the best one in Norway, or is it one of many?
It's one of many, but it is the traditional good one. It's a lot of more local akvavits now. That's really good, right? But the traditional old style akvavit was Linje akvavit. Yeah.
Women's Elite Wave bigger, both
okay.
In the Berkey and the 40, at least for the skate. So I usually do the skate, so that's kind of what I'm tuned into.
Yeah.
But so if you do the percent back for the 200th man
okay.
that gets into the Elite Wave, it's usually around 35-37%.
Okay.
Roughly, it depends on the year, but you know, that's kind of typical. If you look at the 65th woman,
yep.
her percent back from the lead woman is more like 30%. Or, you know, it's not always, but it tends to be significantly less. So we think the women's the women's wave is top heavy.
Yep.
You know, there's more, the faster women tend to do the Berkey and the slower women tend to do the 40. So, we think the women's elite wave should be bigger so that it's the percent back is similar
okay.
between the men and the women.
I think what the Berkey would say is we're trying to minimize the number of people who wind up passing each other. Right?
Here's my argument. So are we running two separate races, a men's race and a women's race simultaneously?
Yeah.
Or are we running a men's race that we allow women to participate in?
Sure.
That's because if we're just, oh, well, it's a men's race, but we'll let the women participate and we'll accommodate them if it's convenient for the men, then that makes sense. But if you're saying, you know what, we want to have a top-level men's race and a top-level women's race, and we want to figure out how to run them simultaneously,
yeah.
that's a different mindset, and that's a different strategy in how to do the waves.
So you would say that what the idea would be to have the women's race have the same percent back or the same number of people as the men's race has?
Not the same number because the 200 women would be too slow.
Okay.
So I'm not advocating
so the same
for
percent
that.
Back.
I'm saying percent back, yeah.
And if that if they looked at that and said, we can do this, but we're going to have to start the women's race 10 minutes earlier just to sort of minimize the number of people who wind up passing each other, is that...
I'm older now, so I'm not in the Elite Wave anymore. But, you know, when I was in the Elite Wave,
yeah.
You know, we're all strung out by
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like passing the spirit of 35, yeah. or, you yeah, know, sure. it's not a big deal.
And when you were in the Elite Wave, was that when they did the women 2 minutes behind the men, or was that when...
I did, but I'm mid-boat. Old enough that I've done that, yep. and I've also was in the Elite Wave when it was 20 minutes early.
And do you prefer one versus the other, or...?
20 minutes early.
Yeah.
Because, well, when it's 2 minutes back, you end up, you're fighting the back of the men's elite the
right,
whole time.
Right, right, right.
Which is not very fun.
And getting passed by the leads men pack, and you get to get off to the side, and they come...
It's no big deal. Yep. We're strung out at that point, and yep. because it's not till at least double O.
And they're strung out.
And they're strung out, too.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot. There's not interference, really, yep. I don't think. And it's fun. You know men in the Elite Wave, and they say, hey, as they go by. Yep. You know, it's
a yep. long enough race that everyone can sort of take a deep breath when that happens.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And have you, are you making an argument to certain people, or what are you sort of like trying to...
Well, we have been discussing it amongst ourselves and trying to plant that seed with the Berkey board.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to see sort of how to balance the congestion and safety and also the sort of equality in the race course to have the best race.
Yeah. So my first and maybe second Berkey I ever did was before they had the women's elite.
Okay.
So we top women had to start in wave one with the men.
Okay.
Yeah, which was not
good.
Fun. No.
When was that? When did they initiate the women's elite wave?
My first Berkey, I think, was 91.
Okay.
So it
was that the last? That was the first. That was the 91. Did they go north to south to north of 91, or was that the first one they went north to south?
At that time, they were switching back and forth.
Okay. Yep.
They were still switching back. So I've done it both ways.
Okay.
You know. So yeah. And then they finally. But all the arguments against having a women's elite wave at all back in the early 90s.
Right.
It's the same kind of stuff I hear today.
Sure.
And it's like, we've done it, and it's been awesome, and, you know, so it's like those...
And it took them 20 years to get the women's elite wave at all.
Well, no, the first women's elite was like 92 or 93.
Right, well, I mean, 73 was the first race, so...
Oh, right, yeah. 20 years to even have a women's elite.
Even do that, yeah.
You know, yeah.
So how many Berkeys have you done now?
I've done 21.
Okay.
I had done a bunch when I was, you know, racing in my 20s, and then I took time off to have kids. I took about 10, 12 years off.
Yeah.
And then I got back into it.
We've been doing it since the 90s. So, so they made even the best women were starting with the men in wave one.
Yes.
Which, what's that's
crazy.
not even a race, right?
You don't even know where the other women are.
You're getting your pole stepped up.
By men. I've had a ski broken.
I would say the women's elite wave is probably the chillest of all the wave starts.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. The women self-seed very well.
Yeah.
So that's really nice.
So, and probably given that, if you put 50 more women in there, they would self-seed well and then get strung out as...
Yeah, I'm just advocating for, you know, 20, 30 more women.
Yeah.
No, because that, if you do the percent back, that's probably another 20, 30 women.
So it'd be about 100 women. It obviously would be...
Yeah, 90, at least 80, you know.
Do you have any idea why there are fewer women in the Berkey and the longer Berkey? Because if you look at the Cordelope, I think it's pretty even between men and women.
Yes, and that's the other argument for the women's elite in the Cordy. Like right now, it's 100 men and only 50 women. But if you do the percent back, it's like the 100th man is like the 90th woman. It's like, why not, you know... Especially in the Cordy, they need more women in the elite wave.
And then that might build into having more women who get into racing in the Birkebeiner, which has that weird gender split that we don't see in other events.
Right.
It's a discussion that I think should be continued to have. And
hopefully... we're still talking about it. My name is Angie Robinson.
Okay. I've recognized your name from lots of skiing
stuff. I've been skiing a long time.
Yeah.
It was so exciting to see a CSU uniform at Cordelope, baby!
Yeah. Not as exciting as when I was in Marcialonga in Italy, and someone saw the CSU uniform and cheered for me, and I'm like, who is that? And it was Garrett Cousy, who's like runs the tours or whatever. Did you race today, yesterday, or?
Not today, not ever. Besides, like, a couple decades ago when I did the Corn Open.
Are you just up cheering?
I'm the Stillwater Girls Nordic head coach, so I'm here cheering on a lot of our other coaches and also the Lopin Nordic coaches.
Okay.
I'll be going on to the Junior Nationals with Team Midwest very shortly, so we have a lot of folks that are skiing today, and it's been really fun to watch them.
Did you do waxing and support, or just they are on their own for the birthday?
Not here. I was doing a lot of waxing and support last weekend, so this is just fun. We have, I think, two different athletes that are going on to Junior Nationals, Stella Powell and George Nelson. And George Nelson's mom took fifth today in the Women's Classic overall, which was pretty fabulous. Yeah, that was really fun to see. And
then back in the day, any Stillwater athletes who have gone on to any?
Well, there was this girl, Jessie Dickens, that was here last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know her.
She's never skied the full course Berkey, though, so, like, not is she even a real skier?
So, but you're saying that Jessie did never do the full course, so it doesn't count.
Has Jessie ever skied down Main Street?
I don't know.
The answer is no.
So, when you guys did the five loops last year, you didn't actually get Main Street in?
No, it's five loops to Telmark.
Okay, so would you like to communicate this to Jessie, that she's never done this?
She knows.
Oh.
She knows. She tried to when she was skiing the Cordal Open in 2009-ish, and they made her ski back to Telmark.
So, Ari, I'm curious. How have you been doing back in...
Yeah, this is very important. TNR is really TNW, Tuesday Night World Championships.
Oh.
Tuesday Night Worlds.
Absolutely.
Because of all the races that happen on Tuesday night, it's probably the most competitive in the world.
It has Hannah Halverson.
It's an important race. If we look at the results this year, I think I may be winning the old guy category. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I'd say fortunately. We've had a bit of a, do you know Jess Snyder?
The
Jess Snyder.
Yes.
So about 3 years ago, she said something along the lines of, I really like doing these races, but I wish there was more competition in the women's race. There's a woman named Hannah Halverson who's shown up and does the races now. She's like a good skier. And then there's like five or six recent college grads who are decidedly not 40 years old. And they have come in, like, reinvigorated the front of the race. So Tuesday Night Worlds is now, we had our largest race this year. We had over 100 people in the two waves.
104, I heard.
104. Not that you're paying attention, keeping track, but yeah, we had 104 people. And the front of the race is basically, I start the race, I go out, I burn all my matches in the first half K to get in front of the scrum, because there's always a pack.
We need that guy to fly and die.
And we have now the, like, we have the college kids, recent college graduates, to, like, pull me along just to get me out in front of the scrum. So less broken equipment for me. And it's fun.
So you said that you famously would end the Berkey with a beer and a broad on a porch somewhere.
In the past, I would, like, have a few beers there and a few broads. And then I would go and have a few aquavits in the lake and a few and then I'd sort of stumble home from the moccasin. You might have to drive, though. even today. And today was, like, one in each place. I think it's probably not as good for the podcast content because I'm not, like, running up to people and, like, hey, podcast, you want to be on a podcast?
You said you have tens and tens of followers, right?
I have.
I've learned from the high school kids that I coach this year that when something's good, it tracks.
Yeah, the podcast tracks, sure. I don't know what that means.
I learned from the college kids that my class, the most recent one I offered in the undergrads was mid.
Not good.
So gotta, this is not a mid experience.
Did it actually say in a...
Yes.
Is the Berkey mid?
No, Berkey is Riz.
Riz? No.
The
Berkey has Riz? The Berkey tracks.
I can't ask Riz.
The Berkey tracks.
Final question. How was your Berkey bratwurst?
Are you going to have my Berkey? Like, it. Bratwurst was great. The guy making the bratwurst put the sauerkraut on the bottom and then the broad in.
This sounds controversial.
I he was saying it, what's nice is because if you're having a bratwurst in a controlled environment, maybe you want the sauerkraut on top. If you're grabbing a bratwurst with a cold hand that doesn't really work, and you want to go for like not dropping it, I think it worked well. It's also like, I could see this too, if you're eating bratwurst over the period of some amount of time where it might get soggy, I think I ate that bratwurst in about 45 seconds. The bratwurst was, it was excellent. Excellent bratwurst.
So, do we track? Since everything's about tracking.
Bratwurst track.
Berkey finishers, how fast they eat their bratwurst.
Your time should finish when you get a bloody or beer. Hey, like bloody, you know, you can choose. Either a bloody or a beer and a bratwurst.
I'll do it.
That should be really, that's the race.
We
should introduce that class next year.
Yep.
I like doing a bloody first because it's like usually still in the morning. So you want to have the bloody and then the brat. They don't give you a beer back with the bloody there. So, you know, it's not quite the full experience.
What I like about this is that if we implement this, I know where to go get some good skis while people are having their bloodies.
So now people are going to be running with their skis. Maybe that's part of it. You have to run with your skis and poles.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have to, like, you know, put them down because you need two hands. Brat, bloody.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this idea.
Bloody Mary's a brat.
Triathlon is ski the Berkey, drink a bloody, eat a brat. And that's triathlon.
This is the true definition.
This is, I think we have sort of discovered a new sport here, and I fully support it.
All right.
This guy, and he'll be doing the Berkey in about
19 down, and this little guy.
19 down, and when he does the Berkey with me in 18 years, it'll be 37 down.
All right.
If we're still having Berkey, hopefully we still have Berkeys.
We'll still have Berkeys. It might be loose, but we'll still have Berkeys.
Yeah, but it's just this is good. Good stuff.
We're happy to have this. We're happy to have.
Yeah.
Main Street. It's been amazing.
Yeah. So you've gotten your diploma today for doing. You've done all 10 of the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Is this the first one outside of Europe or?
Yes.
Yeah.
And where are you all from?
Estonia.
All of you from Estonia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get the, is there anyone else who got their diploma today, or is this just the Estonia wave here?
I think there are some others. Yeah. Kind of just organized so that all Estonian groups can enjoy this.
Yeah.
Together.
And so how many of you came over?
Nine.
Nine of you, wow. And all of you getting your diplomas today?
No, five.
Okay, and then others will get their...
Some already have, some don't yet.
William Nelson.
Did you ski the Tartu this year?
Tony Gronhausen.
No, because he was last week in Canada.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So you did Gatineau last week, and then get your diploma here today.
Yeah.
Congratulations. How did you like the course here?
Yeah. It was the best marathon. I really say it's the best one I have been. And I'd like to come back.
Yeah, and even skating.
Daniel Ender, home of Alaska.
Yep. Right, Lane is Wesley, Costa Lopez, and Sydney Barcelona. And I don't remember such an atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, York, Seattle.
Yeah, which, what's the best race in Europe?
Oh, Aaron Brisley, Christina,
well, like, you cannot really compare them. They are different in many ways.
I kind of like it in Norway.
Yeah.
Birka Beinerrennen. It's really different.
Yes.
But there are many, of course. Lake, we haven't went to everywhere yet.
Even Polish one is Ellen like Rain, very nice terrain.
Yep.
Also, like,
but this is the best ski trail.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It's wide.
It goes like up and down all the way.
Yeah.
Very nice. And not too much, too hilly.
Yeah, it's not three mountains. Yeah. It was designed as a ski trail.
What I especially like is the crowd here.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's not Europe. It's US, you know. Oh, come on over. Let's have some fireball or whatever, you know. This is crazy. Nice.
Ben Pop, you're having a celebratory beverage.
My first Earth Rider of the day.
The first Earth Rider of the day. 3:45. Yeah. Should be your more than first.
My 10th? No.
But you had a race to put on.
For sure.
You
know. I mean, it was...
There were some leaves on the course, but, you know, 3:30, it's not that bad.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think it's for sure, you know, the course eventually is going to break down, but honestly, we knew that was going to happen to some extent, but if it's safe, that was what mattered.
I don't think anyone's complaining.
And the idea of this energy, this excitement, that skiing was... It's a part of it, of course, but it's a percentage only. You know, and the part of hanging out in the celebration, getting a beer, going to Anglers, going to the Moccasin, seeing your friends, going to get some kettle corn, whatever it is.
Well, and we have Europeans here saying it's the best world over race, and, you know, if they did a couple of loops at Telemark, I don't think they'd be saying the same thing.
I just want to say, right, that energy does not exist in the same way.
And they said Main Street, they said it's better than the towns you go through in Europe.
I was talking to Sidney Ledger a little bit earlier, and not to mention our men's champion. They both are like, we don't have finishes like this on the World Cup and other ski classics. It's like the electricity of it and the intensity of it. It's more than just the sheer volume. It's like they feel like people genuinely are just willing them on. And my kids skied their first Berkey today. I have two 18-year-olds.
Yeah, you have twins?
I have twins.
Wow.
Yep. Skied their
congratulations on having twins. But yeah, first Berkey.
One of them skied once this year. He's a runner. Runs up at St. Scholastica. First ski of the year today. Had a great time. The other one skied a little bit. But anyways, they finished and both were like, oh my gosh. I had no idea until you actually experience what it's like.
Yeah.
You hear about it, but you're like, no, there was people cheering the whole way, the aid stations, all parts of it. Until you experience it, you just don't have any sense of what it is. And they're like, oh my. You know, and that's my kids that have been living with it for the last 13 years. And so it's
well, and if you know the course, it's like, okay, there people came on a snowmobile trip, or there they came in a North End trail, they're only a mile from the cabin. But if you're new to it, you're in the middle of the woods, and now there's 50 people there banging drums.
What the
hell? Where the hell did they come from?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it. No questions asked.
Well, you glad you pulled the trigger and did the whole course?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, absolutely the right call to make, and not only just from the community standpoint, but the skiing. It was great and so fun after two really hard years in the Midwest to have this happening again. So happy it's done, and I guess planning starts in a few hours for
Berkey 52.
Exactly. The second 50.
The second 50, yeah. Well, hopefully we have just a lot of snow next year. And
I was going to say, hopefully it's boring.
Yeah.
In terms of, oh, man, we got 2.5 feet of snow on the ground.
It might hit 30 next week, and we'll just pack it down some.
Yeah, we might have to plow a little off. Yeah. But it'll be fine.
Use your best skis, and
let's hope for that.
One of these, you've got to come back one of these years. Oh, and unlike 23, we have a lot of snow. The lake might be frozen.
Maybe. So I do all the drillings.
Okay.
And the one when you first get on the lake is where the channel comes in. It's always the thinnest.
Yeah.
Typically, it's like 12 to 13 inches.
Yeah.
And it was 27 inches.
Woo, so bad.
You're like, what the hell is that?
We were Sherpas the whole day, but our crew of eight thought it was fantastic.
Awesome.
You did a good job.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
Can I get one of those coats just for saying that?
Yeah. But then you think about the community. That's what makes it such a special event, is that the community, it's not just, the Berkey staffer. The whole community is involved in so
We've been working on Kamba, Berkey. We're all in it for the same reason.
Yeah.
Bring fun to the Northwoods.
Yeah.
So Ben and I have a great relationship.
I was told, and I can probably say this now, someone told me that under the record, and they asked me, I have a 3-month-old, so I wasn't going to do this. There's a few people, apparently, who threw on classic skis and they're skiing back to Telemark, and they're using Kamba trails as much as they can, at least until they get past the race course. It's good. It's a good time.
Oh, it's a great time. The endowment initial was to raise $1 million.
Okay.
And they put a call to 35 families to signify the first 35 skiers.
Sure. Yep.
We're one of those.
Yeah.
So, and we're also donated to another project to put these old chairlifts up on the hill.
Okay.
To sit there.
Okay.
The bike up, sit there, and get a great view.
Oh, right up the top. Sure,
Yes.
A few years ago, skiing around there, and we skied up to the hill, and I said, oh, that's a big hill.
Yeah.
Can't imagine they started the Berkey up there back in the day.
I know.
Have you skied the race, or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 15 times.
Okay. Are you retired from the Berkey now, or?
I had a foot injury this past year.
Okay.
But we always get a big group of people at our cabin, so we've been Sherpas for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So we get them into the race.
No, it actually works, kind of. How was your race?
It was good. No, it wasn't. wave two, went back to wave 10 to ski with the buddy. And that was a choice. It was fun, different, but yeah.
What's wave 10 like?
Different. Mashed potatoes. Ate a lot of mashed potatoes.
And how are the downhills? Were some leaves and
luges.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I called them.
Yeah.
He's screaming, I'm going to go outside. Oh. He slept through the moccasins earlier. But why did you go from wave 2 to wave 10?
He didn't have a prequal race, so.
So your first Berkey.
Yeah, I'm Wyatt's younger brother.
How was your first Berkey?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a chaotic but wonderful time. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Were you signed up last year, or did you decide to do it this year?
This was my first year.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. It's good to do it in a real year like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I had a ton of fun. Skied with this guy the whole way, and we got through it. So, yeah, it was excellent.
Charlie, I can't hear him screaming at you. That's how you go to. How do you do?
Not great.
What's that?
I'm kind of fucked up. I got my back's injured, so I'm like, just barely got through it.
Yeah. Getting old sucks. Okay.
And he's there now. He is running across the finish line, but he has a broken ski, and he just...
No one gave him a new ski?
He wasn't accepting any.
Okay. That's a choice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you to everyone who found me on Main Street, everyone who had a chat, everyone who had a laugh. We really did sneak in the Berkey this year. 2 weeks before it would have been on loops, and 2 weeks after, well, 2 days after, it would have been on grass. So let's all do our snow dances early this season, please. Oh, and please don't report me to Child Protective Services for taking my kid to the moccasin. I promise it won't happen again until next February. Have a great spring, and we'll be back with more content soon.